So picture the scenario, because it's one that currently strikes absolute fear into the heart of almost any global professional, I should say.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Right. You've done everything right. You've dutifully paid all your taxes on time. Every single rupee, every dollar of your income has been, meticulously
It's a
declared.
model taxpayer.
Exactly. You consider yourself a model taxpayer with a totally spotless record. But then, just entirely out of the blue, you wake up to find you're facing these severe, life-altering financial penalties. And, like, terrifyingly, the legitimate threat of criminal prosecution.
And, hearing that, it sounds like a complete bureaucratic glitch, right? Like a clerical error that should just take, I don't know, 5 minutes to clear up over the phone.
Yeah, because the standard logic is if you pay what you owe, you're clear.
Right. But right now, for a very specific group of cross-border professionals, that nightmare scenario is not a glitch at all. It's entirely real. And it's actually built into the architecture of the law.
Which is wild. And that is exactly our mission for today's deep dive. We are doing an urgent financial and professional health check.
Much needed right now.
Definitely. So we're basing our analysis on this critical March 2026 advisory published by K&M India. It centers around a newly announced government framework called the FAST TDS 2026 scheme.
Right, the amnesty scheme.
Yeah, so our objective today is to really thoroughly examine this hidden compliance trap that is currently snaring C-suite executives, returning international professionals, non-resident Indians. We need to understand the mechanics of why this is happening right now and the exact legal steps you need to take to protect your wealth and your professional reputation.
Yeah, and to really grasp why this trap is suddenly springing on so many people right now, we kind of have to look at how the global financial surveillance apparatus has evolved.
Okay.
Because as of April 2026, the Indian Income Tax Department has just fundamentally transformed its data mining capabilities. They're relying on this global framework called the Automatic Exchange of Information, or AEOI.
Right, AEOI. But when you say automatic exchange, like how literal is that? Are we talking about foreign banks sending, I don't know, physical reports or PDFs to New Delhi every quarter
Oh
or?
no, it is vastly more sophisticated than that.
Okay, so what does it actually look like?
It's essentially this interconnected web of APIs, application programming interfaces between global central banks and tax authorities. It's all governed by the OECD's Common Reporting Standard. So, say you walk into a branch of Morgan Stanley in New York or a local bank in London, and you open an account using an Indian passport.
Or with an Indian permanent address.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The algorithm immediately flags that account. And at the end of the reporting period, that your balances, your interest, capital gains, it's all automatically digitized and transmitted directly to the Indian tax authorities.
Wow.
Yeah. Zero human intervention.
So the government is no longer like relying on the honor system or waiting for you to self-report your offshore finances on some paper form.
No, not at all.
That's, yeah.
They already have the data sitting on their servers before you even sit down to file your taxes.
That is incredibly Big Brother.
Precisely. If you have an international financial footprint, no matter how small, you are currently under a high-powered, automated regulatory microscope. And because of this new algorithmic visibility, these past technical oversight stuff from maybe 5 or 7 years ago, they're being automatically flagged.
Wow.
They're essentially ticking time bombs in your financial history.
Okay, let's unpack this
Yeah.
because I want to dig into that term, technical oversight. Because usually when I hear technical oversight, I think a rounding error or maybe putting a date in the wrong format.
Right, something minor.
Yeah, exactly. So, what specific administrative error is turning these perfectly honest tax-paying executives into targets for criminal prosecution?
Well, it all stems from a massive structural misconception about how tax law actually works in India. Many taxpayers, and remarkably, even their highly paid tax consultants.
Wait, really? The professionals are getting this wrong.
Yes, absolutely. They
That's
operate
interesting.
under this assumption that paying your tax completely resolves your legal liability.
Which, I mean, that seems like a completely rational assumption, right? If I earn foreign income and I give the government their exact required cut of that income, my debt to society is paid.
It is rational, yeah.
Yeah.
But legally, it's incorrect.
Okay.
Let's say you're a tech executive. You spent 4 years working in the United States. You accumulated some foreign salary, maybe some capital gains from an overseas brokerage, some foreign dividend income.
Right, pretty standard stuff.
Very standard. So you diligently calculate the tax on all of that. You pay the Indian taxes perfectly on time. You assume you're in the clear. But in the process, you fail to fill out one mandatory disclosure section buried in the Indian income tax return.
And what is that?
It's known as Schedule FA, which stands for Foreign Assets.
Okay, so this is purely just a reporting form.
Yes. Schedule FA is mandatory for anyone holding foreign bank accounts, financial interests, immovable property, equity shares outside of India. The foundational thing to understand here is that the Indian government treats the taxation of your income and the disclosure of your asset as two entirely separate legal jurisdictions.
Like governed by two different sets of rules.
Exactly.
I'm trying to visualize the logic here. It sounds like going to a restaurant, paying your bill in full, leaving a great tip, but then getting arrested for shoplifting because you walked out holding the menu by mistake.
That's actually a great way to look at it.
Like you paid for the meal, the restaurant got their money, but you violated a separate administrative rule about taking the menu, so they treat you like a thief.
That analogy captures the mechanics of the law perfectly. You paid for the meal, meaning you paid the income tax, but you walked out with the menu, meaning you failed to declare the existence of the asset that generated that income in the first place.
Wow.
And because the government views that undeclared asset as a potential vehicle for hiding future wealth, the penalty for walking out with that menu is completely devastating.
Right. Let's talk about those penalties. Because the K&M India advisory emphasizes that we are not talking about a slap on the wrist here or a minor late fee.
Not at all.
So what happens if I have like an old legacy checking account from when I worked in London a decade ago? Let's say it has a balance of maybe £50. It generates absolutely zero taxable interest. I haven't even thought about it in 10 years. Does this Schedule FA rule apply to a completely dormant account?
It applies with absolute severity.
You're joking.
No, I'm serious. This entire framework falls under the Black Money Act of 2015. The formal name is the Black Money Undisclosed Foreign Income and Assets and Imposition of Tax Act. Quite a mouthful.
Yeah, that sounds intimidating.
It is. When the government introduced this legislation, they needed a blunt instrument to go after systemic generational wealth hiding in offshore tax havens.
Like the classic Swiss bank account stuff.
Exactly. The regular Income Tax Act just wasn't a strong enough deterrent. So they created a law where the penalty for merely forgetting to report a foreign asset in Schedule FA is a flat euro section per assessment year.
Wait. 10 lakh rupees per year just for leaving a box unchecked on a form, regardless of the actual value of the asset.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Take your dormant London bank account example. If you missed reporting that near-empty 50-pound account for three consecutive years, that is a 30,000 penalty.
That is insane.
The legislation is entirely agnostic to the account balance. It does not factor in whether the account generated any taxable income at all. The penalty is levied purely for the non-disclosure of the asset itself, and the burden of proof is entirely on you.
Man, that significantly changes the calculus for anyone who has ever worked abroad. But, the advisory makes a point that brings this even closer to home, especially for professionals who might never have even left India, because this isn't just about foreign bank accounts, right?
Right.
It includes employee stock ownership plans or ESOPs granted by global multinationals.
Yeah. And this is perhaps the most dangerous trap for the modern corporate executive. If you work for a multinational company in, say, Bangalore or Gurgaon, receiving ESOPs from the global headquarters in California or London is just a standard part of your compensation package.
Absolutely.
Under the Black Money Act, those ESOPs are considered foreign financial interests.
Mm-hmm.
And the law applies aggressively to them, regardless of whether those options are vested or unvested.
Okay, I need you to explain the mechanics of that. Because an unvested ESOP isn't actually money yet.
Right.
It's essentially a corporate promise. I can't sell it. I can't borrow against it. I haven't realized a single rupee of financial gain. So how can the government penalize me for not reporting a hypothetical asset?
Well, what's fascinating here is that the Black Money Act defines foreign asset incredibly broadly. A right to acquire shares in the future is deemed a financial interest existing today.
Even if I can't touch it.
Even though you cannot cash it out, you possess a contractual right held overseas. So if you have unvested ESOPs sitting in a foreign brokerage portal and you fail to declare their fair market value in Schedule FA, the algorithm eventually flags the discrepancy.
And then?
And you face that identical 10 lakh penalty for every single year you failed to report that unvested paper wealth.
So we are talking about professionals facing cumulative millions of rupees in fines. And, as the advisory points out, a high risk of rigorous imprisonment, all for failing to report money they literally couldn't even touch.
Yes. It's a massive crisis.
But if the system is catching thousands of innocent tech workers and executives in a technical trap, the administrative backlog of court cases must be just astronomical.
Oh, it is.
Is the government doing anything to differentiate between these honest administrative mistakes and, like, actual malicious tax evasion?
Yeah, and that exact administrative bottleneck is what birthed the escape route we're discussing today. The government realizes that treating a software engineer who forgot to report unvested stock options the same as a smuggler hiding millions in the Cayman Islands.
Right, it just clogs the judicial system.
Exactly. So to clear this massive backlog of technical litigation, they introduced a temporary amnesty window. The Foreign Asset Settlement and Tax Dispute Scheme, or FASTDS 2026.
Okay, FASTDS 2026. Now, I assume an amnesty scheme like this requires you to prove your intent, right? Like, how does the scheme separate the honest mistakes from the deliberate evasion?
So the architects of FASTDS 2026 recognize that distinction by dividing the scheme into strict categories. And the one that serves as a lifeline for the professionals we're talking about is Category B.
Category B, okay.
Yeah. Category B is engineered exclusively for technical reporting lapses by individuals who can prove they acted in good faith.
But in a legal context, how do you retroactively prove you acted in good faith 7 years ago? I mean, you can't just tell a tax officer, hey, I didn't know the rules.
Right. Pleading ignorance doesn't work. Good faith under Category B is proven by the math.
Okay, the math.
It means you can demonstrate that you previously paid all the applicable Indian taxes on the underlying income generated by the asset, even if you inadvertently missed the Schedule FA disclosure form itself.
Got it.
You weren't hiding the money from taxation. You simply failed the administrative reporting test.
So if a professional can prove that, what is the actual mechanism of the amnesty? Like, how much does it cost to clear the slate?
If you meet the stringent criteria for Category B, you are permitted to regularize your past income tax returns by paying a one-time flat compounding fee of exactly $100,000.
Wait. A flat fee of 1 lakh rupees covers the entire historical lapse.
Yes. Paying this single compounding fee grants you absolute immunity from the 10 lakh per year Black Money Act penalties.
Wow.
Yeah. Whether you missed reporting the asset for 2 years or 6 years, the 100,000 fee covers the entire specific lapse. And more importantly, it extinguishes any potential for future criminal prosecution related to that specific nondisclosure.
Man, while that sounds like an incredible relief compared to millions in fines, there is always, you know, a psychological barrier to interacting with the tax department to admit a mistake.
Oh, absolutely. People are terrified.
Right, because if an executive voluntarily comes forward and files this FASTDS paperwork, aren't they just putting a massive spotlight on themselves? Like, what prevents the tax authorities from taking this admission of guilt and using it as an excuse to audit every single business expense or deduction the executive has claimed for the last decade?
That's a huge fear, but the K&M India advisory specifically highlights how the scheme mitigates that exact issue. Filing under FASTDS 2026 is legally ring-fenced.
Ring-fenced? Explain the mechanics of ring-fencing in this context.
And ring-fencing means the tax department's scrutiny is legally isolated to the specific issue you are declaring.
Okay.
If you make a declaration under Category B regarding a missed foreign asset, the law generally grants you immunity from having that specific declaration used as probable cause to reopen completely unrelated aspects of your past tax returns.
Ah, I see.
They cannot use your admission about a foreign ESOP to suddenly question the depreciation you claimed on your home office equipment.
Right, right.
It's designed as a targeted fix for a targeted problem, precisely to encourage people to come forward without fear of a fishing expedition.
Well, that makes utilizing Category B seem highly pragmatic, but the source material outlines a major caveat for people who might have genuinely misunderstood their tax obligations, right? What happens if I fall into Category A?
Yeah, the FAQs in the advisory are very clear about the danger of Category A. If you did not pay the taxes on the foreign income, say you mistakenly believed it was only taxable in the country where it was earned, so you never offered it for taxation in India.
And you failed a good faith test.
Exactly. You do not qualify for the 100,000 flat fee. Falling into Category A requires you to pay all the pending historical taxes, plus heavily compounded interest and elevated penalty rates.
Ouch.
Yeah, that saves you from prison under the Black Money Act, but it is an incredibly expensive path compared to Category B.
Which means the true challenge here is proving you belong in Category B. Here's where it gets really interesting, because this is not a situation where you just log onto a government portal, check a box that says, I made a mistake, pay your 1 lakh rupees, and go back to work.
Definitely not.
Proving good faith and qualifying for this amnesty requires what essentially amounts to a forensic-level financial audit of your own life.
It is an incredibly rigorous process. You're formally petitioning the government for legal amnesty, which means the standard of documentation required is absolute. You cannot afford a single discrepancy.
Let's walk through the actual mechanics of what a professional has to do to build this petition. The first phase is comprehensive portfolio mapping. How deep does an executive need to dig into their financial history?
You have to go back in time and reconstruct your entire global financial footprint. Professionals must collate at least 7 years' worth of past Indian income tax returns.
7 years, wow.
7 years. You have to source every single overseas bank statement, month by month, for that entire period. You need comprehensive histories from all your foreign brokerages. The advisory specifically points out platforms commonly used for executive compensation, like E-Trade or Morgan Stanley.
Finding statements from a defunct portal you haven't logged into since 2019 sounds like a complete nightmare.
It really is.
And once you gather all this raw data, you have to cross-reference it against the Indian tax filings to find the exact points of failure, right?
Yeah, you're searching for any gap between your historical reality and your documented tax submissions. Every dividend payout, every fractional share vested, every minor interest credit in a foreign account, it all must be mapped against what was disclosed on that specific year's Schedule FA.
And once you identify the gaps, you have to execute the eligibility assessment to prove you paid the taxes on those events. How do you actually build an audit trail that proves your intent to a tax officer?
You do it by drawing an undeniable mathematical line between a foreign financial event and an Indian tax receipt.
Give me an example.
Okay, let's say your foreign equity shares paid out a $50 dividend in 2021. That is a taxable event. You need to pull your exact tax computation worksheet from 2021, find the specific line item where you converted that $50 into rupees, and show where it was added to your gross total income in India.
That is so granular.
Very. If you can provide that unbroken paper trail for every single taxable event, you secure your eligibility for Category B.
And that leads to the final and arguably most complex hurdle. The technical submission of the FAST-DS declaration itself. And this is where the sheer mathematical difficulty of the process really becomes apparent, particularly regarding the requirement to report the peak balance of these foreign accounts.
The peak balance calculation. This is where so many individuals fail when trying to do this themselves.
Really? Why is it so hard?
Because the tax department does not just want to know how much money was in your foreign account on March 31st at the end of the financial year. They require the peak balance.
Oh.
That is the absolute highest monetary value that account reached on any single day during that 12-month period.
Which means scanning 365 days of transactions.
Exactly.
So if my balance spiked on a Tuesday afternoon because a bonus cleared, and I immediately wired that money to an investment account on Wednesday morning, that Tuesday high watermark is my peak balance for the entire year.
Yes.
Wow.
And it gets much more complicated because you cannot just report that peak balance in U.S. dollars or British pounds. You have to calculate the exact rupee equivalent.
Let me guess. I can't just use an average yearly exchange rate from Google.
Nope. You are legally required to find the exact State Bank of India telegraphic transfer buying rate for that specific foreign currency on the exact date the peak balance occurred and apply that specific conversion rate.
You're kidding.
I wish I was. You have to do this for every single account, for every single year of the lapse.
And what about for ESOPs?
For unvested ESOPs, you must determine the fair market value of those options for each assessment year based on specific valuation rules governed by Indian law and map those valuations to the exact years the Schedule FA disclosure was missed.
When you lay out the mechanics like that, finding daily exchange rates from 5 years ago, calculating fair market values of unvested foreign equity, it becomes entirely obvious why a corporate executive cannot simply hand this off to their neighborhood accountant or try to manage it on a Sunday afternoon.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's entirely beyond the scope of basic tax filing. The K&M India advisory strongly emphasizes the necessity of utilizing specialized management advisory services.
Because it's too risky.
Exactly. Okay. You're dealing with cross-border compliance, which requires an understanding of how foreign financial instruments map onto Indian legal definitions.
You know, the advisory highlights a very specific example of this cross-border friction that I thought was incredibly revealing. They point to the unique complexities faced by executives returning from assignments in Tokyo or Indian professionals working for Japanese multinationals. Why does Japan present such a specific compliance headache?
Oh, it perfectly illustrates the friction between different national systems. Japan operates its tax year for individuals on a calendar basis from January to December.
Ah, okay.
But India's fiscal year runs strictly from April to March. So right away, you have an income investing mismatch. An executive might receive a bonus or experience a vesting event in February. Under Japanese reporting, that belongs to the new tax year. Under Indeed reporting, it belongs to the closing financial year.
Wow, so reconciling a January to December financial statement against an April to March legal requirement requires completely dismantling the foreign document and rebuilding the timeline from scratch.
Exactly. And you add to that the complexity of Japanese corporate structures, which often include specific statutory benefits or retirement trust structures that simply do not have direct legal equivalents in English or under Indian law.
So it's not just translation.
No, you aren't just translating a document from Japanese to English. You are legally interpreting a foreign financial concept and trying to force it into the rigid categories of the Indian Income Tax Act.
Which explains the need for specialists.
That is why specialized advisory firms maintain bilingual desks and rely on experts deeply versed in international double taxation avoidance agreements.
It really underscores the core warning of this entire deep dive. This process is a legal strategy, not just an accounting exercise.
Absolutely.
Because if you attempt this FAST-DS submission and calculate the peak balance wrong, or misinterpret the fair market value of a foreign asset, your amnesty petition could be rejected. And worse, you might inadvertently hand the tax department the exact data they need to prosecute you under the Black Money Act.
That is the ultimate danger. You must act preemptively. If you wait until the automated AEOI system flags your account and the tax department sends you a formal scrutiny notice, the window for amnesty may automatically close.
Game over.
You have to audit your own history and secure the Category B protection before the algorithm initiates an enforcement action.
Man, this has been a critical examination of a system that is actively catching thousands of professionals off guard. So what does this all mean? Let's recap the key takeaways for you listening.
Good idea.
First, the assumption that paying your income tax clears your legal obligations is totally false. The Schedule FA trap requires separate mandatory disclosure of all foreign assets, including dormant bank accounts and unvested ESOPs.
And remember the menu analogy.
Exactly. Second, the Black Money Act separates the tax from the disclosure, imposing a draconian penalty of 10 lakh rupees per year purely for administrative non-disclosure. And the burden of proof rests entirely on you.
Yep.
Third, the FAST-DS 2026 Category B scheme offers a vital, ring-fenced lifeline. It allows professionals who acted in good faith to clear their historical liabilities for a flat 100,000 compounding fee.
It's the best way out right now.
And finally, securing that lifeline requires an immediate, preemptive forensic audit of your entire global financial footprint, cross-referencing years of foreign statements, peak balances, and daily exchange rates against past Indian tax filings. Basically, the era of assuming an offshore account is out of sight, out of mind, is permanently over.
Permanently over.
You are no longer just responsible for paying what you owe. Your professional standing depends on comprehensively reporting everything that you have.
Yeah, and as we conclude this analysis, I want to leave you with a final thought to consider regarding your own professional timeline.
Okay, let's hear it.
We discussed how the automatic exchange of information system allows governments to share financial data at the speed of light, right? Using algorithms to match historical records across borders.
Right, the APIs.
So if a forgotten unvested stock option or a dormant overseas checking account from 6 years ago can trigger a multi-million rupee penalty today, under the Black Money Act.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
What other seemingly innocent legacy data points from your early international career are currently sitting digitized in a foreign government database, just waiting for the next software update to flag them?
That is a terrifying thought.
Have you truly forensically audited your global financial footprint? Because in a world of automated compliance, if you don't find the discrepancy first, the algorithm inevitably will.